All right, I'm happy to be here today. I hope you're happy to be here. But my brackets are shot. It's over. I will not win the big bucks in the office this year. Man, my teams, some of them did great though. How about U of H? Right, first Elite Eight and 34, 35 years, incredible. And then Texas Tech, man, guns up, I see those. And why not? War Eagle, amazing. Auburn, yeah, Auburn, exactly. What a run they've had. So, I don't know, the tournament, it's been fun to watch, it really has. But anybody is happy about their bracket. You feel like, hey, you see the big money coming, right? Yeah, right there, sir, I like that. Still happy about his bracket. A lot of us, not so much. I like sometimes to follow trends and polls and stats, you know. It's interesting as you see them, how much weight do you put in them. But I found this one a couple weeks ago, and I like it because it deals with fears. Fears, right? We're all afraid of something. And this particular study or survey talked about the top five fears of Americans. Top five fears. Ready? We'll start with number five. Needles and blood. Oof. Number four. Drowning. Real fear. Number three, snakes and bugs. Do you remember the fear factor with old Joe Rogan? Remember they would, the bugs and the maggots, they would swim. Anyway, that, woo. Number two, heights. Heights, Taco Fall. People afraid of heights. And number one, what's the greatest fear? Public speaking, exactly. Public speaking. Now, it's interesting, when you look at that fear, that fear list, and I, needles, bugs, snakes, those are real fears, but I think to me, in our everyday life, there are greater fears that exist, right? I mean, really? I mean, you're not worried about tomorrow, sometimes someone, you know, saying, hey, stand up and speak. I mean, that's not a fear, or some bug's going to jump out on you. I don't know, you know? You're probably not going to go way out in the Gulf of Mexico and drown. I mean, but I think underneath the surface, there are real fears that we struggle with. One of the great fears that we have is being alone. Being alone. Either I'm going to end up alone or I am alone, but aloneness is a great fear. A fear of rejection. We're going to be rejected. We're not going to get in. We're not going to be accepted. Fear of not being loved and wanted. That's a real fear. Fear of being out of work. Fear of not having enough money to pay the bills, to pay the mortgage. That's a real fear. Fear that you won't measure up. Fear that you really don't have what it takes. How about if you're a parent, grandparent? Fear of your kids and how they're going to turn out and their future, and will they follow God? Will they come back to God? Will they get into that college? If you pay $800,000 to a guy, we have all those fears. We have those fears. The real fears that lurk beneath the surface. So what I want to talk to us about today, what I want us to look at, is where do you find yourself in the fears? Where do you find yourself in the fears? And we're going to look at an ancient story today that has some powerful implications about the fear factor in your life and the fear factor in my life. If you can remember the story of old Moses, we looked at Moses last week, the MVP of the Old Testament, how Moses was called by God to lead his people, a million Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt, all the way to Canaan, which was called the Promised Land. It's a big task. So as Moses was in the in-between time in the wilderness, as they were approaching the Promised Land, he said, listen, folks, we need to do some R&D. So he sent out 12 spies to spy out this so-called promised land, to find out who's living in it, what's it like, what do they got, will it be profitable for us, is this thing going to work out? So he sends out 12 spies, and they come back with this report. And in this report, we're going to see how different people respond to fear. Look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. It's right there in front of you. If you brought a Bible, go to Numbers. It said, they came back, the 12 spies, to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They reported to the whole community and showed the fruit of the land. They brought back some fruit, the harvest. They said, look. They told Moses, we went to the land where you sent us. We did our work. It is indeed flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Check out the prophet. Look at the fruit. In 28, verse 28, there's the word, but the inhabitants are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Yes, God's called us to this land. Yes, it's a prosperous land. Yes, this could lead to success for our tribe, our people. Yes, but there are giants in the land. They're stronger. They're fortified. And so just a little bit of fear is sprinkled out among the people as the spies give their report. So what happens? When you hear a report, when you hear a forecast, when you get the news, and it's not what you wanted, fear can flood your heart. And fear floods your heart when you focus on a frightening future, if you follow the alliteration. Fear, anxiety, worry, floods your heart when you begin to think about tomorrow or next week or next year as you play out this future, and it's always the worst case scenario. It's always a frightening future, and fear begins to flood your heart. But remember, there are 12 spies. 10 spies gave this one report. There were two other spies by the name of Joshua and Caleb. How many of you ever heard of the names Joshua and Caleb? Raise your hand, lift them up there. Yeah, we've heard of Joshua and Caleb. Check out what they said about this report. It's a minority report. Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Shh. Everybody calm down. Settle down. He said, let us go up and occupy it, for we are well able to conquer it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's go, go, go. Look at the fruit. Look at the land. We got this thing. Joshua and Caleb stood by Moses, gave the same report, but an entirely different interpretation. Let's go for it. God's for us. Who can be against us? So what do you think happened? I think the crowd, the other 10 spies said, man, that's great. That's so true. No, no, no. It's not how it works, is it? That's not how fear works. Look what happens when the vision vandals speak again in verse 31 of Numbers 13. It says, but, there it is again, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than we are. Then they presented the Israelites with a discouraging report of the land, and they investigated, saying, the land we passed through to investigate is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw there of great stature. We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that came from Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers. to our both to ourselves and to them. Remember the Nephilim? Those, if you're going through the chronological Bible, those strange, weird people in early Genesis, the kind of giant creatures, half human, half whatever they were. These giant people, that's what they were saying. These 10 spies were saying, man, they're giants in the land. They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. We can't take this city. We can't take this place. We can't do this new thing that God's calling us to do. Vision. The vision God had given them for the future. The vision God gave Moses when he brought them up out of slavery, a million people through these mighty miracles. It's squelched by 10 negative people, by 10 spies. The visions of vandals. Listen, vision vanishes when you listen to the vandals of vision. Write that down, say it 3 times fast. Vision disappears. It vanishes when you listen to the vandals of vision. God is leading you to do something in your work and your business. Cast that vision out there and see if there are not some vision vandals just waiting there to whoosh, give the negative report, the discouraging report. And watch what happens. Watch how the fear spreads from the 10 to the hundreds, to the thousands, to the entire. Watch what happens. I mean, these guys, you know what they are? Here's a phrase we can learn together today. They are agua fiestas. Thank you. There's some people by agua fiesta. You know what that means? A party pooper. They throw water on the party. They throw water on the report, water on the vision, and it spreads. Check it out. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Then all the community's in fear now. They raised a loud cry, and the people wept all night. The Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, if we had only perished in this wilderness, why the Lord has brought us out here into this land only to be killed by the sword, that our wives and children should be plundered, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. How's that for hijinks? Well, if I would just, God would do a miracle for me, I would believe in God. If God would just be a miracle, do a miracle, I would follow him and obey him. These people had miracles out the wazoo. They had seen the mighty hand of God. They experienced his miracles. They had experienced him delivering them out of slavery. They've been in slavery for 425 years. Born and raised in Egypt, born and raised in slavery. Not just me, but my dad. Not just my dad, but my granddad and my great-granddad. And God had brought him out through the plagues, through the Passover, through the parting of the Red Sea. Amazing. And now they want to go back to slavery? They want to go back to making bricks with straw? They want to go back to the whips and back to the chains and back to that place. Wow. Longing to go back to the past. Fear. Fear, it fractures your ability to function. You can't think clearly. You don't make good decisions. You start doing what I'll call you romantically reflect. I mean, these people are really romanticizing Egypt, right? You do that sometime in a relationship, right? You know, you dated some guy, you broke up with him, and then a couple of years later, you're both still single, and I remember how good it was with Bill, you know? It wasn't good with Bill. Bill's not his real name. So we have that tendency to do that, to look back to the past, to look back to the familiar, to forget the pain, to forget the anguish. Fear fractures your ability to function. It fractures your ability to think right. You make poor decisions when you're driven by fear. Fear can cause all kind of anxiety and panic. It affects you physically and emotionally if you let that fear continue to flood your heart and mind. That's what happened to the people that listened to the report of the 10 spies. Fear, anxiety, worry, dread for the future. You know, it's interesting to me. On one hand, you want to kind of relate to the 10 spies. You kind of want to identify, where do you find yourself in the fear? You kind of want to find yourself, you know, you kind of, okay, I can relate to them a little bit. This going into the promised land, this battle was going to be no cakewalk. Plus, think about their past, multi-generational slavery, tough past, brutal past. The 10 spies had been through that. The congregation had been through that. But then again, so had Joshua and Caleb. They had been through the same misery. They had seen the same miracles. They had the same mission to go into the land to spy it out. But Joshua and Caleb had an entirely different perspective. They saw things differently. Same report, but different strategies to make it happen. I'm sure they were afraid. That's the thing. We're going to be afraid. To be human is to have fear and to face fears. It never stops. But it's what we do with those fears, how we process those fears. So what did Joshua and Caleb do differently? What did they do differently? Well, maybe they listened to Moses. They listened to Moses and what Moses said about God and what Moses said about the so-called frightening future in Deuteronomy 1:29. Check it out. This is what he told them. He said, do not be terrified and do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. Same misery, same miracles. But something got down deep in the heart and the mind and the will of Joshua and Caleb. Those miracles really meant something to them. Their deliverance out of slavery really meant something to them. This God that Moses was telling them about, they really began to understand this God and allow his truth and his power to permeate their life. What did they do with fear? The real fear, the real anxiety, the real worries of what could happen to them and their family for the future. How did they fight the fear? They fought the fear with the faithfulness of God. They looked fear straight in the eye. They faced their fear. In their own strength? In their own power? No. Based on the faithfulness of God. They said, listen, God has brought us out of Egypt. God fought for us then. As the passage says, God goes before us. He's going to fight before us. He sees the future. And he will carry us like a father carries his son. God's in control of the future. As fear floods our heart and we see what might happen and this happened, and as we paint out and picture this worst case scenario, so many times we factor out the future faithfulness and grace of God. That God will be there in that moment. God will be there in that circumstance. God will be there for us to give us strength and to give us hope that we can take the land that he's promised us. Fight fear with the faithfulness of God. God goes before me. He's going to be in my tomorrow. He's going to be in my next year. That's hope. God is with me now. He surrounds me. He empowers me. That's faith. And when we realize that, when we really allow God's faithfulness to sink deep down inside of our hearts and minds, it allows us to take on the giants in our land. Since we're talking about polls and surveys, you know, one of the most common commands, maybe the most ubiquitous command in all the Bible is? Mentioned 103 times. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Because I'm with you. I go before you, and I empower you in the now. Ten spies and two spies. One led to fear and chaos. The other led to faith and courage and strength. Where do you find yourself? In the fear. Do you know anybody who's named their kids after the 10 spies? Do you know anybody that named their kids Joshua or Caleb? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you come to us in the midst of real life, in the midst of real fear, and you speak a word to us. A word that you are faithful. A word that you are in our tomorrows, you are in our future. God, open our eyes. Give us the eyes of Joshua and Caleb to trust you in the now and to trust you in the future. We thank you that you are faithful. And God, we give you this time of invitation right now. We ask that you would lead people who need to stand and walk down front today and say, hey, we need to join this church, this community today. God, may they stand and come and make their way down front. Lord, others are wondering where to start, how to reconnect. God, may you lead those to stand and come down front today. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you were there. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are in our tomorrows. And God, right now, in this moment of invitation, we ask that you would move. Lead those who need to stand and come down front today. In Jesus' name.